Side 3, Champions of the Force, the Jedi Academy Trilogy, Volume 3, by Kevin J. Anderson. Continuing on page 100. Luke's image shimmered, but cast no light in the dim chambers where the twins lay sleeping. The door was open. Kilgall sat up studying in her own room across the corridor, but she could not yet hear Luke's voice. The boy Jason could, and Luke had no time. "Jason," he said, with his muffled inside-the-head voice. The boy stirred. Beside him, Jaina sighed and rolled over in her sleep. "Jason," Luke said again. "Jaina, I need your help. Only you can help me." The boy woke up, blinking his dark eyes. He scanned the room, yawned, then fixed his eyes upon Luke's image. "Uncle Luke," he said. "Help? Okay. Wake your sister and follow me. Tell her to raise the alarm and bring all the other Jedi. But you have to help me now. Maybe you can hold them off long enough." Jason didn't ask questions. By the time he shook his sister, she had already started to awaken. She too saw Luke, and the boy needed only a few words to explain the situation. Jason trotted down the hall on his little legs. Luke drifted in front of him, urging Jason faster, faster, toward the turbo lift. Jaina ran into Kilgall's quarters and screamed, "Help, help!" at the top of her lungs. "Uncle Luke needs help!" The Jedi trainees surged out of their quarters. Suddenly, alarms rang out. Luke realized that R2, still standing sentry duty in the grand audience chamber, must have triggered them. He didn't know, though, what the astromech droid could do against the monstrous winged creatures summoned by Exar Kun. Jason hesitated inside the turbo lift while Luke showed which button to push. "Hurry, Jason," Luke said. The turbo lift shot upward and spilled them into the vast, dim chamber. Down at the end of the promenade, R2 hummed back and forth, whistling and warbling shrilly, his arc-welding arm extended, flashing blue sparks. But the reptilian creatures flapped into the air, circling around the sluggish droid as if they considered R2 to be no threat. Two of the creatures flapped up from the raised platform upon hearing the turbo lift doors open. They honked and hissed, spitting at the very small boy who emerged alone to challenge them. R2 squealed as if thankful for any sort of help. The alarms continued to hammer through the temple. The third creature perched at the edge of the long stone table on which Luke's body lay. Its two heads bobbed forward to let out a dual squeal of annoyance. One of the heads snapped down to tear a mouthful of cloth from Luke's robe. The other head curled back scaled lips and flashed a jagged row of fangs. "They're angry," Jason said, as if he had some kind of empathy for the creatures. "They're wrong." "Take them away from my body, Jason," Luke said, eyeing the poisonous stingers on their tails, the vicious teeth, the sharp claws. "Go help R2. The others will be here in just a few seconds." Without fear, Jason shrieked like a wild warrior as he ran toward the monsters on his stubby legs. He flailed his arms, yelling. Two of the creatures squawked and swooped into the air, then flapped their leathery wings to dive at him. R2 whistled a warning. Jason ducked at the last moment. The creatures dragged their hooked metallic claws on the flagstone floor, sending up showers of sparks. The boy didn't slow. He ran toward the last of the reptilian creatures, who stared hungrily down at Luke's soft, closed eyelids. Jason reached the raised platform. The third creature rose into the air, thrashing with its scorpion tail and snapping with both heads full of clacking fangs. Unable to fight for himself, Luke paralleled the boy as Jason struggled up onto the raised platform. Grim and determined, the boy stood guard by his uncle's motionless form. R2 came up beside Jason, his welding arm still crackling. Then Luke saw what to do, if it was possible, if he could manage to use his skills in such a way. Next to his robed body lay a black cylinder studded with power buttons. "Jason," Luke said, "take my lightsaber." The three flying creatures circled the chamber, croaking at each other as if receiving instructions from the Exar Kun. Without hesitation, the boy picked up the lightsaber handle. It was as long as his small forearm. "Don't know how," Jason said to Luke. "I'll show you," Luke said. "Let me guide you. Let me fight with you." Talons extended, the three flying creatures plunged toward the boy, squealing with bloodlust in their eyes. Jason held the smooth handle in front of him and pushed the activation button. With a loud snap hiss, the lightsaber's deadly shaft blazed in the dimness. The little boy planted his feet apart, raised the glowing blade, and prepared to defend the Jedi Master, Luke Skywalker. Kilgall scooped Jaina up in her arms and ran down the halls as Dorsk 81 and Tion joined her at the turbo lift. They rose to the highest level, ready to battle for their master, as they had done against the unleashed storm. But even Kilgall's greatest fears did not prepare her for the astonishing sight that greeted her as she entered the grand audience chamber. Little Jason held a lightsaber in his hand with all the grace and confidence of a master swordsman. The trio of flying creatures came at him, jabbing with their dripping stingers, snapping with long teeth, reaching with hooked claws. But Jason pirouetted with the energy blade, wielding the lightsaber as if it were an extension of his arm. The blade crackled and hummed through the air. R2-D2, agitated, buzzed back and forth, doing his best to keep the creatures from coming too close to Master Skywalker's body. Jason continued to fight. One of the lizard creatures darted in with gnashing fangs, but Jason deftly cleaved off a head with one smooth stroke. He left only a smoking neck stump as the other head of the two-headed monster writhed and flailed and spat. The creature crashed to the floor and flopped its leathery wings against the flagstones. The remaining two monsters struck with their scorpion stingers. The little boy swung the lightsaber, neatly slicing off one pointed stinger, then rolled out of the way as gouts of black poison spurted from the amputated end. The evil liquid burned on the ancient Masasi stones like acid, boiling with greasy gray and purple smoke. Maddened with pain, the injured thing flapped in the air until it grappled against its companion, rending with claws and snapping with two heads full of tearing teeth. It struck with the useless stump of its stinger, but the stronger creature stabbed with its own stinger, leaving a burning hole in the torso of its attacker, a hole that continued to burn and sizzle as the poison ate deeper and deeper. The stronger flying lizard latched its jaws onto the scaly throat of the other. When its victim had ceased its struggles, the survivor released its claws, flapping higher as the dead carcass fell with a thud onto the floor. R2 came forward to zap the limp creature, making certain it was dead. Kilgall, Tion, and Dorsk 81 froze on the threshold of the turbo lift, watching the impossible tableau.
"We've got to help him," Dorsk 81 said.
"How?" Tion asked. "We have no weapons."
Kilgall assessed the furious battle.
"Perhaps Jason doesn't need our help."
Jaina snatched her hand free from Kilgall's grip and scrambled down the promenade, even as the others hesitated for a fraction of a second. Kilgall ran after her. The last of the reptiles shrieked through double throats, infuriated by the attack of its companion. It dived down in an unstoppable plunge. Jason stepped back to meet it, holding the lightsaber poised at his shoulder, waiting for the right moment. Coolly, as the creature came in with dripping fangs and outstretched claws, Jason swung in a clean arc with grace and skill, perfectly in command of his reflexes. The glowing blade struck and severed both throats in one sizzling flash. The carcass of the creature, reflexively convulsing its wings, crashed into Jason and drove him to the floor. R2 rolled forward to help, bleeping.
"He is all right," Jaina called, finally reaching the raised platform. "Jason!"
"Jaina!"
Kilgall shouted, catching up with her. The tip of the lightsaber appeared, smoking and blazing through the carcass as Jason cut his way free of the stiff wings. Kilgall assisted him. In surprise, Jaina looked up to see the first fallen creature lurch back up, clinging to life with its remaining head, still desperate to kill Luke. With one stump of its severed neck still oozing dark blood, it clutched the edge of the stone table and hauled itself up, snapping its scorpion tail in convulsive twitches and preparing to sting. Its wings flapped, helping it balance on the table where it could rip apart Luke's body. In one last moment of defiance, pushed on by the evil spirit controlling it, the wounded creature struck toward Luke's unprotected throat. But Jaina arrived first. The little girl jumped up and grabbed its wings, yanking backward with all her weight. Writhing and snapping, the creature tried to bite down on the hands holding its leathery wings. A mere second behind Jaina, Kilgall wrapped her powerful calamarian hands around the creature's long serpentine throat, even as Jaina continued to yank backward at its wings. Kilgall let out a high grunt as she wrung its neck, crushing a succession of vertebrae as if they were dry twigs. The thing slumped down across the table, finally dead. Jaina panted and slid into a squat. Jason climbed to his feet and looked around as if confused. He blinked his eyes sleepily, then, with a deft movement of one small finger, deactivated the lightsaber. The humming sound of the blade vanished into the sudden silence of the chamber. The turbo lift opened, and the remaining Jedi trainees rushed out, drawing up short as they saw the carnage. Tion reached the raised platform. Her silvery hair flowed behind her like a comet's tail. She bent over Luke's body and, with an expression of disgust, gripped the still oozing reptilian carcass of the last slain creature and flung it away from the Jedi Master. Kilgall rushed to Jason just as he calmly replaced the lightsaber beside Luke's motionless form. She grabbed him, hugged him, and then stared in awe at the little boy. Only moments ago, this not-quite-three-year-old child had fought like a legendary lightsaber duelist. Dorst 81 and the other Jedi trainees came forward.
"He fought as well as a master," Dorst 81 said. "It reminded me of the duel between Ganterus and Master Skywalker."
"Uncle Luke was with me," Jason said. "He showed me. He's here."
Kilgall blinked her large round eyes.
"What do you mean?" Tione asked. "Can you see him now?" Dorst 81 said.
"Yes, he's right there."
Jaina pointed to thin air.
"He says he's proud of us."
She giggled.
Jason giggled too, but he looked exhausted, covered with dark ichor. He slumped down on Kilgall's lap. The Jedi trainees looked at each other, then gazed at the open air above Luke's prone body. R2 whistled in confusion.
"What else does he say?" Kilgall said.
Jason and Jaina both sat still for a moment, as if listening.
"Exar Kun, he's making the trouble," Jason said.
Jaina finished.
"Stop Exar Kun, then Uncle Luke can come back."
12. Leia sat next to Terpsen in uneasy silence during the entire journey from Yavin 4 to the ocean world of Calamari. Terpsen said virtually nothing, crouched over the controls as if unable to bear the weight on his shoulders. The small ship descended through the cloud-swirled atmosphere of the Sapphire world toward one of the wrecked floating cities where Akbar had been overseeing heroic salvage operations. As the ship streaked toward the sunlit water, Leia saw golden trails reflected off the choppy waves. She felt an eerie sense of deja vu, thinking of when she and Kilgall had come to this planet in search of Akbar in his exile. She felt this time she was coming full circle, riding with the unwilling Calamarian traitor to redeem Akbar, but more important, to enlist the Admiral's assistance in a rescue operation to save her son. "Reef Home Salvage Team, this is..." Terpsen hesitated. "This is Minister of State Leia Organa Solo's ship. We must speak with Akbar. Do you have a place for us to land?" After only a moment, Akbar's own voice responded. "Leia, coming to see me?" "She's certainly welcome here." Then Akbar added, "Terpsen, is that you?"
"Yes, Admiral."
"I thought I recognized your voice. I would delight in seeing both of you."
"I'm not so sure, sir," Terpsen said.
"What do you mean? Is something wrong?" Akbar replied. The Calamarian hung his scarred head, wrestling with his answer. Leia leaned over to the microphone.
"It's best if we explain face to face, Akbar," she said in a soft but firm voice. It still felt awkward not to address him by his rank.
Terpsen nodded a painful thanks to Leia. He brought the ship down in a steep dive toward the ocean surface, then pulled up with room to spare and cruised over the wave tops until they approached a cluster of floating vessels and a turmoil in the slate-gray water. Organic-looking barges with articulated crane apparatus extended down into the water. Bloated, inflated ships like enormous bellows blazed exhaust fire as their engines drove fans to pump air into the submerged hulk of Reef Home, one of the majestic Calamarian floating cities that had been sunk in Admiral Dalla's recent attack. Leia had been on Calamari trying to convince Akbar to reclaim his rank when Dalla's star destroyers had struck. Squads of TIE bombers had managed to sink Reef Home and damage several other cities. But Akbar had come out of his seclusion and rallied the Calamarian forces to victory. Now Leia watched the white froth as the hulk of the city heaved itself to the surface. Bubbles simmered around the lumpy dome of Reef Home. Figures clambered over the exposed metal, attaching grappler cables from the towering cranes on the surrounding barge ships. The bellows pumps continued to gush air into Reef Home's sealed compartments, forcing out the water that had flooded deck after deck. In the water, groups of dark figures, tentacle-faced Quarren, worked at the edge of the derelict city, prying open wave doors, patching breaches in the hull, and scavenging the ocean floor to find lost possessions.
As Turpin brought the ship to land on the wet expanse of the main crane barge, the domed city shouldered its way higher above the choppy ocean. Leia emerged from the small ship and stopped to catch her balance on the gently swaying deck. Cool salt spray struck her, making her gasp at the cutting wind and the iodine tang of drifting seaweed. One of the figures in the water used a jetpack to scoot away from the salvaged city, climbing a long ladder up the side of the crane barge. Leia recognized Akbar as he scrambled with enthusiasm onto the barge deck and stood dripping before them. He peeled off a thin, translucent membrane from his face and took a deep breath of fresh air. "Leia, I greet you," he said, raising a flipper hand. "We're making great progress in resurrecting Reef Home City. Our crews should have it refitted and ready for habitation within a few months." "Aunt Turpin," he said with heartbreaking joy as he strode to embrace his former chief starship mechanic. Turpin stood stiffly, unable to speak a word. Leia's immediate need was too great for pleasantries. "Akbar," she said, "the Imperials have learned the location of Anna. Winter and baby Anakin are in grave danger at this very moment. You must take us to them right away. You're the only one who knows the location." Akbar stood in shock, and Turpin broke away from his embrace. "I have betrayed us, Admiral," he said. "I have betrayed us all." Working hard to appear useful and important, Ambassador Fergan stood on the control deck of the dreadnought Vendetta. As they came out of hyperspace and approached the planet Anoth, he stepped forward. "Shields up," he said. "Already done, sir," Colonel Ardax answered from the command station. Ardax wore a crisp olive-gray Imperial Navy uniform with his cap firmly planted on his short-trimmed hair. He drew in a deep breath to broaden his shoulders. Throughout the journey to Anoth, the colonel had annoyed Fergan by making decisions for himself without asking for input. Ardax was altogether too independent for Fergan's taste. True, Fergan was merely the administrative head of the Caridin Military Academy. Former Military Academy, now that the rebel terrorist Kip Duron had destroyed it. But he was still the most important person on this entire ship. His opinion should be valued. He still thought of the roaring explosion of Caridin's star, the echoed screams of those low-ranking individuals, and all the valuable equipment he had left behind. Fergan's glorious dreams of resurrecting the Empire had dwindled to a point, but it was a laser-bright point. If he could just get his hands on the Jedi baby, there would be hope for the galaxy once more.